It is truly, truly a wonderful Lord's Day morning. As I was sitting there thinking about the many faces that we have not seen in a while, we're so glad to see you on this morning. God is a good God. He's a God full of mercy, a God of grace, a God that has compassion upon His people. He's a God that created us in His image. And as we think about Him and the way He created us, it gives us an opportunity to think about our lives. There are many, many days where we do not do the things that God wants us to do. We do not say the things that God would have us to say. But He has, on this day, given us an opportunity to come to Him and to get our lives in order. As Brother J.D. did this morning, Brother James confessed that Jesus is the Son of God and was immersed in the watery grave of baptism for the remission of sins. We're so thankful for Him. Not too long ago, Sister Navaya obeyed the gospel, and we're so thankful for her as well. Brother Claude, who came back on Wednesday to confess sin and to ask for prayers for strength, for patience, we're thankful for him. But what I want to direct your minds to is to understand what a true blessing is. A blessing from the Lord. In the very beginning, the Bible tells us that, again, God created man in His own image. He created them male and female. He created Adam first, and then He caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and He took one of his ribs and He created a woman for the man. And within creating that woman and joining them together, that question this morning from Bible class, reference to the church, being added to the church, or what's the difference between adding and joining? Adam and Eve were joined together. Their additions to their family came later, and that was their children. And that was what God told them to do, to replenish the earth, be fruitful and multiply. And that is, again, what we want to look at this morning, a blessing from the Lord. We looked at that scripture reference there in the book of Psalm 127, and the verse is 3. We read 1, 2, and 3, but we want to read verse 3 one more time. As the psalmist writes here, he directs your mind to children. And he says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward." See, there are many people, and when I say people, I'm talking about mothers and fathers that do not appreciate children. The Bible says they come from the Lord. There are many people that don't want children, that are having children, but yet they don't want children. The Bible says they are heritage from the Lord. They are a reward. Now, I know that some women get pregnant out of wedlock, and that's not right for her to lay down with a man and not be married to him. But if she gets pregnant, that's from the Lord. She needs to have that child, and she needs to raise that child, and she needs to love that child. Again, some of them don't want those children, and we always tell them from time to time, it all depends on who those children are and how they're acting. If you don't want them, we'll take them. But then there are some, you say, here, you can have them back. But you cannot give those children back to the Lord because they're yours. Now, I understand that Hannah gave her, she said, if you give me this man-child, and she prayed specifically for a man-child, if you give him to me, I am going to give him back to you. I want us to know that every child has a choice to make. And the choices that children make are many times a reflection upon what the parents are teaching them. Sometimes the children are acting in ways that parents have never acted before. Maybe it's good and maybe it's bad. But what we have to do is we have to continue to go and look at God's Word and understand once again that children are inherited from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward. Because of what woman did in the garden, God said for her or told her that you will have pain in childbirth. Now, some women don't have that pain. Consider yourself, I really don't like to use this word, but I'm going to use it anyway, consider yourself lucky. If you had a child and you did not have pain, that doesn't mean that, oh, I'm going to have another one because this was easy. That other one may give you a whole lot of pain in having it. And sometimes the pain may not necessarily come in childbirth, but that pain may come later because of the behavior of that child. But we need to understand, again, that the woman, the Bible says, would be saved by doing so, by having those children. And so we need to look at the scriptures, and we need to understand that when we start talking about a blessing from the Lord, that there is a great responsibility to the parents toward their children. Without a mother, without a father, we would not be here. You know, two women to lay together and think that they're going to have children, they need to think again. For two men to lay together and think they're going to have children, they need to think again. The talk show where they said, this man, look at this man is having a baby. That's a lie. Men do not have babies. Women have babies. But we need to understand that when these babies are born, even before, that these children need to be taught. You can teach your child in the womb. You can talk to them. And they are listening. They are listening. And I can't remember the woman's name. Yes, I do. I do remember the woman's name. I'm just going to tell you a quick story real quick. There was this woman that was pregnant. And her boss was one of those bosses that would get on her nerves. And the boss's name was Peggy. There's nobody in here know who I'm talking about but one person. The boss's name was Peggy. And when that baby was born, whenever that baby heard Peggy's name, that baby started crying. Somebody had to be saying something bad about Peggy in order for that baby to hear that name and start crying. I want us to know we need to teach our children in the womb. We need to teach our children after they're born. We need to teach our children as they're crawling. We need to teach our children as they're walking. We need to teach our children every opportunity we get about God. That's what we need to be talking to our children about in the womb. We need to be singing praises to God while they're in the womb. We need to be reading scripture while they're in the womb. Now, I'm not talking about reading scripture silently because they can't hear that. Read them out loud so that they may hear you giving honor to God. Let us understand, once again, a blessing from the Lord. We find in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 3, 1, 2, and 3. Years before, some man decided to set aside a day to honor mothers, God had already told man what to do. He had already told children what to do. In Ephesians chapter 6 and the verses 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Obey your parents in the Lord. Now we look at this day as being a special day. This day is the Lord's day. Do you not think that it's special? Yes, it's special because God has given us this day to worship Him in spirit and in truth. So when we set aside one day to identify someone or to recognize someone or to honor someone whom God tells us to honor all the time, we are wrong. Amen. Am I trying to take anything away from this day? No, I'm trying to add something to it. Right. I'm trying to get you to understand that your focus needs to be on God and His Word. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Why? Because this is right. Dante has this thing that where he always say, why? Because I said so. Simple as that, isn't it? That's what the Bible says right here. For this is right. And then they still want to know, why? Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. There's a reason why. He said, it's with a promise that it may be go well with you and that you may live long in the Lord, in the land. Live long in the land. I want us to understand something. That there's a lot of disobedient children out there. And there were a lot of disobedient children out there. And a lot of those disobedient children are in a place where they cannot change. They are in the grave because of disobedience. We need to know that when we are disobedient to God, we may find ourselves in a situation that we don't want to be in. We may find ourselves in a situation that we cannot get ourselves out of. But again, he said, this is a commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. So here we find that children are supposed to be obedient to their parents. Love your mothers. Love your fathers. But rest assured that you should not love them more than you love God. And the reason I say that is because there are some parents that are telling their children to do something wrong. Some mothers are not training their children the way they need to be training them. They're not teaching them the things that they need to be teaching them. But yet they're teaching them bad things, and those children are picking up on those things, and they think that it is right. So he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So when your children, all you children out there, I want you to listen to me, and I want you to listen to me well. And I'm going to give you my phone number. You may not be able to write it down. You may not be able to remember it, but I'm going to tell you something. If your mother or your father tell you to do something that is not right, do not do it. Do not do it. And then when they whip you, give me a call. My number is area code 502-297-1389. Give me a call. I will talk to them. I will talk to them. I will go to bat for you. And then once I leave and they whip you again, don't call me. Don't call me, because I'm not getting no whipping for nobody. But I'm going to go to bat for you. I just want you to know that right now. Have you ever heard that story when the child is getting in trouble and they say, I'm going to call somebody on you, and they're talking about calling the police, and you say, call them. And when the police get there, they tell them, say, you need to go and take them with you, because if you don't, I'm going to whip them again. You know what those police officers do 9 times out of 10? They say, you do what you need to do. You discipline your children the way you need to discipline them. Because we need to understand that when a child is left to himself, that child is going to get into some trouble. So we need to teach them. So children, when they tell you to do something wrong, once again, don't do it. But when they tell you to do things right, do it. And parents, if they don't do it and you do not want to discipline them, call me. My number is 502-297-1389. And I will come to your house and I will talk to your child. If you don't want to discipline them, I'll be glad to do so. Because I have a place to go. Do not allow your child to be disrespectful to you. Teach your child the things that he or she needs to know in order for them to understand the importance of serving a living God. Proverbs chapter 22 and the verse 6. Proverbs chapter 22 and the verse 6. See, we have some people here today that are here because of their mother. They're here because their mothers have taught them the truth concerning God's word. See, there are some people on this day that are going to say, Mom, I'm going to come and see you. Mom may say, won't you come to go to worship with me? No, Mom, I'm just going to come to see you, because I do not worship the same God you worship. I do not worship in the same fashion that you worship. But I want you to understand this, that as you look at the scriptures and you teach your children, grown folks, mothers and fathers, as you teach your children will never forget the things that you have taught them. Never forget that. Tim has told us more than one time or another, I know what you taught me. I know what the Bible says. I may not be doing exactly what I need to be doing, but I know what the Bible says. And here's why, right here. In Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. He will not depart from it. God has a way to get your attention. Those that have been taught the truth at a young age, and now you're not so young anymore, and maybe you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, but God has your attention. Let him keep your attention. Let him work on you. Let him do, as we talk about those that are being unruly, he said, turn them over to Satan and let Satan have his way with them for the destruction of the flesh, so that the soul may be saved in the end. If God has your attention, let him keep your attention. If you feel the chastening of God, continue to feel the chastening of God and get your life in order before it is too late. Never forget that there is a God. Never forget the things that you need to be doing, and the things that you need to be doing is honoring him, listening to your parents. A blessing from the Lord. This word that we're looking at this morning, this is the blessing from the Lord. His word, the word that he sent down here upon this earth in order to become flesh, it's a blessing from the Lord. To allow his son to go to the cruel cross of Calvary and be crucified, buried, and raised up on the third day so you and I can have a right to the tree of life. That's a blessing from the Lord. See, we need to understand that many things that we consider as a blessing, is everybody else is getting them as well. But when we start talking about a blessing from the Lord, something that is spiritual in nature, we need to accept it. Because God only extends those things to his children. Oh, they're there for everybody, but he only extends them to his children. His children are the only ones that can benefit from them. They're there, but we have to do what is right. So we continue to look at this, a blessing from the Lord, and we think about what the scriptures teach us here in the book of Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8 through 9. See, there's a lot of training that needs to be taking place, whereas there's a lot of training that is not. The Bible is on a shelf somewhere collecting dust. The Bible sometimes cannot be found. I was telling you all this story not too long ago about a man come ringing the doorbell. It was pretty late at night, and he asked a question that no one has ever rung the doorbell and asked before. He wasn't asking for money. He wasn't asking for gas, as someone had come to my door and asked for before. But he asked me, do you have a Bible that I can have? And I was searching. I said, I don't want to give him this one. I don't want to give him that one. I couldn't find a Bible that I really wanted to give him, but I gave him one. I gave him a Bible. And I saw him not too long ago, about a couple of weeks ago, and I said, man, I haven't seen you since I gave you that Bible. He said, I'm coming back to see you. I said, good, because I want that Bible back, and I have another one for you. But I still haven't seen him. But I want us to understand that when the Bible in the home cannot be found, there's a problem. It used to be when you go to hotels, there was a Bible in every drawer in a hotel. Dante asked me that during spring break. He opened the drawer up, and there was a Bible there. He said, why is this here? I say, so that people can read it, those that don't have one of their own. A lot of people take them from the hotel, and that's okay too. What they do is they put another one in there, hopefully. But then all you need to really do is ask them, can I have this Bible? Because sometimes we consider that as stolen. But we look at Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. See, we need some parents that are instructing their children in the way that they should go. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. For they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. Hear, my son, your father's instruction. Listen to what your father has to tell you. Listen to the teaching of your mother. Do not forsake it. Do not leave it behind. Do not forget what they have taught you, but continue to do those things that are right. Have you ever had an argument with your parents? Have you ever got mad at them because they have told you to do something that are right? have given you some type of instruction or have taught you something that you know that you should be doing, but now that you're mad at them because you don't want to do those things, you have a problem. And the problem is this, that you do not understand respect. You do not understand who God is. You do not understand how God wants you to live. And the teaching is not going to cease. If that parent is a God-fearing person, that teaching is not going to cease. Just because you don't like it doesn't mean that it's going to cease. It's going to continue. And parents need to continue to teach their children. Now, Brother Brian, there are some parents that don't want to teach their children what's right. Brother Gary, one day you may have children. And you may be one of those parents that are more of a friend to your child than a father. We have a problem. And the problem is this. When women start dressing like the girls of today, and y'all know what I'm talking about already. When the mom tries to dress like the child, And I'm going to say this real quick now. In passing, I saw a grandmother dressed like her granddaughter, and that looks great, or her great-granddaughter, whatever she is to her. I don't really know. I have to get with her later. She knows who I'm talking about. She back there laughing. They look good. But when a mom dresses in skimpy clothes like the little girls dress, and the reason little girls dress like that, let me say this, is because the mom purchase those items for that little girl. Because the little girl, 9 times out of 10, don't have a job. We have to understand that the older women are supposed to teach the younger women. Not vice versa. The older women are supposed to teach the younger women. Now, if the older women are not teaching the younger women, somebody has to teach them. And a lot of times, they allow the world to teach them. And I like to say this from time to time to some people. If the women are not telling other women how to dress, then some man has to tell them. And then the question is asked, why are you looking at them? Sometimes you just can't help but to see what's in front of you. Sometimes you turn your head. Sometimes you take another look and think, I know I didn't see what I thought I saw. But what we need to do is we need to understand the importance of teaching. Understand the importance of teaching. It's good when someone can look at a person and say, hey, that's such and such child. And then it's bad when somebody can look at them and say, I know that's not such and such child. They know whose child it is, but they say, I know that that's not their child because I know that mom and dad would not allow them to dress like that. I remember Chris getting off the bus one day. He wore my overcoat to school. I had no idea that he wore my overcoat to school. And then again, Anita said, why come you wasn't watching him when he went to school? I don't have no idea what I was doing. But I was looking at him when he got off the bus. And he, oh, daddy's home. And he took the overcoat off real quick and tried to ball it up. He was looking good. But he was wearing something that he shouldn't have been wearing. And that's what happens. Sometimes we don't wear enough, and sometimes we wear too much. And that overcoat for him that day was too much. We need to know that when we start talking about training our children or the older women teaching the younger women, that they teach them according to the Word of God. Look what the Bible says in Titus chapter 2, in verse 2. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. That's the older men. We have a responsibility, do we not? According to God's word, how we're supposed to be. And he tells, going back up to verse 1, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Teach the word. And Paul told Timothy the same thing. Teach the word. Telling Titus the same thing. Teach the word. Those things that are of sound doctrine. Verse 3. Older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior. Not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good. Does that sound a little bit like what Paul said in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, reference to children obeying their parents in the Lord? Again, if you're teaching what's good, then they're going to obey those things, or they should obey those things. And so train the young women to love their husbands and children. Love their husbands. Didn't say love a husband. Love their husbands. That means that each wife should have her own husband. And she should love her own husband. And should love her children. But look what it says. Teach them. See, sometimes ladies marry without love. They need to be taught how to love. That's your husband. You're the one that said, I do. Let me tell you what you need to be doing to him. Anita asked my mom not too long, well, it's been a while now, and I really appreciate her for asking her that. She said, why do you always cook hot meals? She said, because I love my husband. And Anita cooks hot meals. Why? Because she loves her husband. And I love my wife. And I appreciate what she does. And we have to appreciate one another. And when we look at this and we think about what the Bible says, reference to older women teaching the younger women need to listen. They need to listen. See, there are some ladies out there that will tell another lady, you know, I wouldn't put up with that. You know what they really are saying? Let him go if you want to. I'm going to get him. And then you got some other lady loving your husband. See, we need to understand what the Bible says. It says, love their husbands and children. To be self-controlled, pure, working at home. Well, what you trying to say? I ain't trying to say nothing. Paul said it for us as he wrote the book of Titus. He said, workers at home. Now, does that mean that a woman cannot go out and get a job? No, it doesn't mean that. But what I would like to say is sometimes we want to live above our means, and the woman needs to go out there and get a job in order to make ends meet. But if she is working outside the home, she still understands her responsibility in the home. There are still children that need to be taught. There are still things that need to be done around the house. And men, I'm not letting you off the hook. A lot of times, it's because of you that she has to work outside the home. And if that's the case, you need to be doing something in the home. Cleaning, cooking, washing, all those things. My hands, they're working hands. They turn the pages of the Bible, that's work. They push the lawnmower from time to time, that's work. He washes dishes. Now I'm going back to myself, talking in third person sometimes, Brother Brian. Melvin washes dishes. Melvin does his laundry. You like that one? What did I say? He does his laundry. I don't do her laundry. She does mine sometimes. But that's neither here nor there, is it? Older women need to teach the young women how to be keepers at home. See, Brother Shelton, I didn't mention cooking meals. Brother Shelton ain't never cooked a meal. Sister Shelton have shared things with other women, reference to cooking. Appreciate that, Sister Shelton. Brother Shelton, you're giving some men a bad name. But keep on doing what you're doing. You've been married 60-something odd years. Keep on doing what you're doing. Love is the key. Older women, once again, teach the younger women. Working at home, kind, submissive to their own husbands. Y'all didn't want to hear that part, did you? Y'all was hoping I would have stopped right there about even before I got to keepers at home, but being submissive to their own husbands. No man walks into my house and tell my wife what to do. A lot of times I'm a little timid about telling my wife what to do. But we need to understand that submissive does not mean that she is a doormat. God made her as a helpmeet. A help meet to help the man, teaching the children, instructing the children, keeping the home. When someone comes by the house, you know, my daddy used to say, when we had guests to come over and they would come in, and he'll say, move those clothes over. Yeah, y'all know what that meant, right? That laundry got done, and when the laundry got done, we as children, my mom had 7 kids, we'd take that laundry out of the dryer and we'd throw it on the couch. And my dad would come home from work, and then somebody would come out here and say, just move it over. Move it over. We didn't get to do that too many times. But there were those times where that did happen. But we need to understand the importance of keeping the home, taking care of your own husband, and husbands making sure that you provide for your families. Making sure that you do those things. A blessing from the Lord. There's no better blessing from the Lord than for a woman to have a child. And for that child to understand the love that he or she needs to have for those parents. There's no better blessing. God has given us the greatest, the oldest organization that was ever set forth. And that is the family. That is the family. Yeah, the church was talked about. The church was you know, put into the plan before this foundation of this world was ever laid. But the oldest organization is the family. Father and mother. Husband and wife. The Bible says for a man to cleave unto his wife. Leave his mother and father and cleave unto his wife. We need to understand again the importance of doing the things that God wants us to do. Maybe you're here and you're not a child of God. Maybe you have not lived the way God wanted you to live. That opportunity is yours to do as Brother James did. Come and make that confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Be immersed in the water of grave of baptism. You know, the angels in heaven will rejoice and we will be rejoicing as well. Maybe you're here and you're strayed away from the fold. We don't want you to stay out there in darkness, but we want you to come back to the light. We want you to confess your faults. If you need to confess to man, confess to man. If you need to confess to God, confess to God. God says in his word in 1 John chapter 1, if you confess your faults, he's just to forgive you of all unrighteousness. So maybe you've been disobedient to your parents. Now is the time to get it right. Now is the time to get it right. Maybe you've been disobedient parents to your children or not being respectful to your children. Now is the time to get it right. For tomorrow is not ours. James said your life is but a vapor that appeared for a little time and then vanished away. Many of parents have died. Many of children have died. And people are living with regret. You can't go back and change anything. If that person is gone, get it right with God and let's keep moving forward. If that person is still here, you need to make that phone call when we get out of services because that person is not here to get some things right. Get it right. Get it right. If you can go see them, that would be even better. Go see them. Talk to them. Get it right with them. Love them. Love them. Love them. Again, Brother Claude asked for patience dealing with his mother. You know, a lot of times moms may not act the way we want them to act, but they are our moms, and we need to respect them. Patience is what we all need with one another, whether it's the parent to the child or the child with the parent. We all need patience. We all need patience because God has been patient with us. If you're here and you're subject to the invitation, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.